anything we need to be in prayer about, please be in prayer. Continue to be in prayer for Tish's mom and dad, just your dad at this point, the family, and as Raymond eats, progressing the week, gets a little more like he might be going home and then, so please be in prayer. Okay, let's prepare ourselves. Interesting thing about our study in spiritual love. Most pastors, churches, the momentum in directing a believer's life is taken from law, which emphasizes the righteousness and justice of God, and therefore it lends itself, and we're going to see this in the study of the New Covenant in Hebrews, lends itself to a obsession, if you please, or at least a constant orientation to these things and sin. And therefore emphasizing the great issue becomes law versus sin, doing good versus sinning. And what this is designed to do in regard to the Christian life is designed to control the Christian life by fear. Now, this is one way that you can go at seeing Scripture, and this is the way most do, to control your life in regard to sin, and this takes you to the righteousness and justice of God, oriented law, and God's going to get you, and all these kinds of things. And therefore, you want to be good, control your life, because God will get you and all these types of things. And you live your life, Christian life, in that type of fear. That's the kind of home church I grew up in as a child. The denomination, very strong on that. But I've seen it in Scripture. And each pastor is responsible in the teaching of Scripture, not to his denomination, though many are, not to the movement that he's in or something like that, but should be what the Spirit opens his eyes to see. And where I am is just to begin to understand that God is love. And to, from this aspect, rather than a fear, to respond to his love, and from that motivating the desire to live one's life, the absence of sin, but the emphasis being not in all of this, sin, fear, God's going to get you, but to, out of this love that we become so aware of, instead of emphasizing, which can be done, and most churches do. If you want that kind of church, they're all over, down the street. That this is the big heavy. And all of this becomes the whole deal. Where this led me is that God is love. And our response to this, and to his love, is this great desire to live as he would desire us to live, which is dealing with the absence of sin, and to live our life in relationship with him and the member that he has sent to us, that is God the Holy Spirit, and so that what comes out is not a conformity to law, but in reality is a conformity, a transformation into the very image of Christ himself. This is not the image of Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that will bring out this image of Christ in us. I grant you, this is not the normal thing. This is more what is the emphasis there. But what I'm finding in Scripture, what is emphasized is, over and over, as we saw Sunday morning, very important study Sunday morning, and next Wednesday night, we're going to have a lot of fun in one of the Psalms, but is God over and over, all that I have done for you, I've done all of these things, and I've done them for you. And all you have to do is just respond and by faith and receive these things. And then in regard to this, is over and over in Scripture, and we've already seen it and we'll continue to see it, is if not what we say when it applies and it fits, but even when we don't like it, is that sin is taken care of at the cross, either we in truth believe that or not. Read all of the judgment standards and the judgment statements and verses, and I'm going to pound you, and I'm going to do this and that. Here's where he does it. Yes, God does do all of those things, but he does it at the cross. We like to talk about, and we being a lot of Christians, talk about the cross, but not in the real sense of what happened there. Not only what happened there, and this is what happened there. This was taken care of there. And therefore, it isn't the big issue. The big issue is our freedom to now respond and live in relationship to his love. As an unbeliever, just to receive it by faith. As a believer, to come and abide in it. We get into John 15. What is the momentum? Christ's own momentum has nothing to do with no sin, sin, sin versus no sin. It has to do with abiding in my love. I've been working and getting on into John now. Abiding in my love. Over and over, this becomes the momentum that we drive toward. It isn't a matter of abiding my law and this type of thing. It is to abide here, to live here. This is where I want you to live. And the impact in a Christian's life who will dare to live in the power of the Spirit, abiding in this love, is dramatically different from the soul of the believer who lives here, wanting to do good and not to sin against God. And this is his mindset. Sin and no sin. Versus abiding in his life. And the thing about it is that we've seen so many times, both positions can clearly be substantiated in Scripture. If you want to see this, it is there. I cannot tell you it isn't there. But you can't tell me this isn't there. And it's not a matter of a little of both. This gives you a mindset to live your life up here. This gives you an entirely different mindset. Do you understand what I mean by mindset? Mindset means this day in and day out in your life. When you come into relationship with people, even temptation to sin, when others fail in sin, what am I here for? Our mindset, our thinking in regard to one another, in regard to ourselves, what we're here for. You have two entirely different things going on. This is here virtually 24 hours a day on the radio. I quit turning on the radio. I drive not all that much, but I have to run around here, go to the store, something like that, and got it on. And all I hear today is law and law and sin and law. And Christians that get caught, and I'm talking about from Christians, so get caught up in all of this. And that's all they hear. It gives you a whole mindset. It gives you a personality and an emotional makeup as opposed to this. This gives an entirely different emotional makeup. This gives you an entirely different physiological, mental, emotional life right here. And so in regard to sin, it's taken care of here. And this isn't what your life isn't lived here thinking about doing it or not doing it. Your life abiding here. Abide in my love. And it is out of that abiding in his love. If a person learns through the filling of the Spirit how to abide in his love, the concepts of sin and these things, they go into the shadows. They no longer become the obsession. It isn't a matter of going through life, sin and not sin. It's a matter of going through life of pleasing him. It's a matter of going through life, of living your life for Christ to be formed in you instead of the law be fulfilled or satisfied in you. And so we have two very strong things going on and two different great attributes of God in dealing with who and what we are and our relationship with God. So as far as I'm concerned, our study on Tuesday night, which permeates all of our study, is the most fundamental thing that God has done in my life. Since all my life, but in taking up this momentum in the late 80s, early 90s, begin to see the whole different thing going on in Scripture than what I have been taught all my life. So what we're doing now is just so powerfully important, and to be able to allow the Spirit to see, because I do believe and see in Scripture that if this is where you are, this is the whole mindset, this is the way you deal with yourself, with God, with others, versus this, and it affects your emotion, it affects how you deal, what you think, what you listen to, what you respond to, and so many different things in your life. There are certainly enough churches that do this. So if this is all, you know, we just get a small group to want to respond to that, that's fine with me, because this is what I see happening in all of Scripture, from Job, the first book written, to the end of Revelation. God is love. I'm going to do it all for you. Just trust me. Abide in my love. And if we abide in his love, we're going to find out when we get back to John. In fact, we'll probably do it before we get there. But what happens when we abide in his love? What happens to our soul? What happens to our physiological makeup? Even physically, we're affected if you abide in love or if you abide in law. You're physiologically affected. You're mentally affected, soullessly. Your enjoyment of life is affected as to this. And your view of God is greatly changed, your relationship with him. So let's prepare ourselves to continue in our search in Scripture and understanding, to the point that the Spirit will open our eyes in regard to this concept of abiding in his love and what love is, and to love one another and God's love toward us. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the freedom, the availability in this country for us to assemble ourselves. We do not take this freedom lightly. It is a pleasure, Father, to use this evening this way. Many other ways we could have, but your Spirit has led us here tonight. And Father, we thank you for your Spirit, and we pray that the Spirit now will open our eyes, that we can see the things that are here to be seen in regard to this concept of your love and abiding in it and loving one another as your Son has led us. Pray, Father, that you will protect us from the power of darkness that would seek always to intrude upon our understanding of spiritual life, to cause us to focus on law, righteousness, and judgment. Father, we pray now that the Spirit will open our eyes, we might see and walk in the manner that you would have us. In Christ's name, amen. I'm basically kind of lost in where we are. We studied major point one, just kind of a flow, so you know I'm not just going on up here, but we have been and are going somewhere. This was an introduction where we dealt with a lot of things in dealing with the title, spiritual love, the concept that it's from a new spiritual creature given by the Holy Spirit. It is God's love, God is Spirit, and dealt with a number of things in that regard. Then we spent some time under the subject of this love, since it does come from the new spiritual creature, and to give us our understanding of the subject of this love, you have human love has inherent problems because of that which it comes from. Subject means the one from whom this love flows. Human love has the inherent problem of being from human and has all of the problems, and we spend some time in regard to that aspect. Spiritual love from the new spiritual creature empowered by God the Holy Spirit. And then that took us to a flow, to major point three, and a set of points dealing with the emphasis of what's going on. And again, for the concept here, human love emphasizes the human being. It emphasizes human integrity, human virtue. And this is why we're so prone to think so much of our love. Our love is so valuable, so precious, and we think that, you know, you tell somebody, I love you, well, they ought to just roll over and play dead for you. I mean, man, they, you know, you love them. and it's based on us. We've seen a person with a strong integrity generally will have a stronger love, a weak person, weak love. It just depends on the human being. It's called virtue love, the virtue being, which comes from the virtue of the human being. So human love emphasizes by nature, it emphasizes us. Human love emphasizes us. It emphasizes that love that flows from us. Whereas the emphasis of spiritual love does not emphasize us, and this is one of the reasons it is not that much sought after. If you truly understand spiritual love, because it emphasizes not me, it doesn't emphasize my love. This isn't my love. When you and I are filled with the Spirit, and spiritual love flows through us to someone else, it isn't my love that's flowing to you. It isn't my love. You don't want my love. You don't want each other's love. The love that is flowing through us now is the love of Jesus Christ. And what do we know from Scripture in regard to the love of Christ? The love of Christ is the love of God, because Jesus Christ came to reveal God to us. So as he, in the Gospels, as he reveals to us his love, he's revealing to us really God's love. So we come to our love emphasizes and glorifies someone else. It's not our love. It's his love. We are merely the vessel, the pot, the jug, the container, and it just flows through us out to someone else. And this is why, not consciously, but this is why people don't want this kind of love. They want my love. This is mine. I produce this. But this love I don't produce. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who produces it. And the emphasis of this love is the love of Christ. So as we saw in John, he must increase and I must decrease. Okay, how does he increase? When we love as he loved. How do we decrease? When we choose to walk by faith. In other words, I can't do it. I must rely on you. So I decrease walking by faith. He increases when his love flows through us. And so Christ starts being formed in us. Why? Because what people start seeing coming out of you in your dealings with one another is the love of Christ. This is the way Christ loves. And this is the love that gives to us through the Holy Spirit. So that was the point three emphasis tip. Then last 2 weeks or so, or maybe just last week, we took up the major fourth point, and that was dependence. And this one was very important in regard to understanding this love, the dependence. While spiritual love is for the believer only, and we've emphasized that we love one another, it is not dependent. It is spiritual love does not depend on your relation or on the other believer here. And I'm dealing here with just one another. It does not depend on the other. Love one another as I have loved you, the new commandment. It doesn't depend on this other believer. Yeah, but the other believer may not deserve it, or this other believer may have done something. It doesn't matter. There are no qualifications in this love. It doesn't depend on your relationship with the other believer. It is not dependent on relationship. So often human love is dependent on our relationship with others, your relationship with this other person. We can talk about it from the area of romantic love to the area of even what we will call virtue love, and such that, okay, you know, you just go your way, I'll go mine, and this type of thing. If this is the way you want to be, if that's the way you're going to treat me, if that's the way you're going to respond. And human love has all of that complication of the dependence of the relationship. Spiritual love is absent of all of that. It does not depend on your relationship with this believer in any way. It is dependent upon relationship, however. It is dependent upon relationship. It is dependent upon your relationship with God, and in this case, God the Holy Spirit. This is the only thing in which spiritual love is dependent upon. It is dependent upon your relationship with God the Holy Spirit. So this is important, because by our familiarity with love, we often think of the object of love. We think of the response to love, the rejection of our love, and all these kinds of things. So it emphasizes relationship. love does. Because what is love? Love is the interaction. It is a force, the push, pull of two objects. So what we have dealing with here are the two objects is a relationship. And it is not dependent upon. Classic example is God's love for the human race in our fallen state, dependent upon his relationship with us. No, we are his enemies, as it were. Just to kind of give you a picture of it. While we were his enemies, Christ died for us. The world was in darkness when he sent the light. And he did that out of his love. So it is not dependent upon relationship in that way. It is dependent upon a relationship, though, your relationship with God the Holy Spirit. So that if at any moment spiritual love, there is no spiritual love flowing out from you towards someone else, the only thing you know with all certainty is this. Well, let me ask you, if here you are, and here's a relationship with a believer, another believer, and there is no spiritual love flowing through, and you know that, what does that tell you about yourself? Anyone, what does that tell you about yourself? I'm sorry? Yeah, you're not. You're not in fellowship. And that's a beautiful word. You're not in fellowship, relationship, proper relationship with God the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it would be there. Not, it has nothing to do with, yeah, but, just, no, there is no yeah, but. There are no yeah, but. It is simple, me, am the one that has the problem here. Oh, but wait a minute, this other person is sin, and I mean, and just, this other person's done horrible. But, no, it's not them. You don't get to do that with spiritual love. All you can do with spiritual love is look back. If it's not flowing through you, and you know that, and it's not in your soul, if you just stand back and say, I'm the one out. Now, it has nothing to do with them. I'm the one who is in an improper relationship with God. In this case, God, the Holy Spirit. But I'm the one who's having a problem with God. I'm angry at God. Oh, no, I'm angry at this believer. No, you've broken fellowship here. People don't like to admit that they're angry at God because they know better. You know, when I say they know better, rationally we know better. Being angry at God is ridiculous. But that's who we're angry at. And we can't help it. Like children. Children become angry at their parents, right? Even their infant, I mean a little one, becomes angry at their parents. Ridiculous. Stupid. Foolish. If you can take it in the human realm, the parents are, you know, infinitely superior. I mean, the parent controls their whole life, as it were. Food and clothing and shelter and warmth and coolness and all those things. Cleanliness. Who are you to be angry at your parent? Foolish. But that's what we do with God. We get angry at God. And so the foul up is not with this believer here is in sin. And I'm just going to go for it. He's in sin. And the sin relates to you. That's not the problem. That's not your problem. Your problem is you and your relationship with God, God the Holy Spirit. Because if you will maintain this relationship, there will be spiritual life here, and there'll be spiritual love flowing here. And it's sort of a negative, what we call a negative teaching, but it's humorous teaching as far as I'm concerned here is they're going to get spiritual love whether you want them to or not if you're walking by faith in the Spirit. And that sort of is our turmoil. If I get in the Spirit, they're going to get kindness because love is kind, and I don't want to be kind to them. But I do want to be in the Spirit. Now, how can I be in the Spirit and not have them get kindness from me? Sorry. I'm sorry. You're learning. If you've gone through that struggle, you're learning. You're really learning about this love. That if it's present, it's present. And you don't get to pick and choose. So, here it is. This thing here, this dependence thing that we're dealing with, is so important for us to remember at all times. Spiritual love is not dependent on other people, other believers. It is dependent upon no one else but me. I can't blame anyone else. I can't judge anyone else. I can't attack. I am not in fellowship. I am not in proper relationship with God. Even though they may not be in proper relationship with me, that has nothing to do with what flows out of me. And if I have allowed it to, I have allowed it then to disrupt my relationship with God. And this is very important. Now, dependent relate concept of this love. Now, this introduces a very important characteristic of spiritual life. It's again the kind of concept that you may not really like. Spiritual love is a love that does not, and I've heard this, in fact I have been taught this, and it's incorrect teaching. Spiritual love, and I want to be sure you get the negative, where the negative is placed. Spiritual love is a love that does not love in spite of. Ever heard that idea? Well, I love you in spite of yourself. That's not true. Spiritual love does not love in spite of. Spiritual love. And people, what I'm dealing with here, just back to my introductory remarks to you. The whole mindset, and by mindset, the whole psyche, the whole emotional makeup of your mind and your soul, turmoil, anger, bitterness, just a peace and a calm deals with this thing of spiritual love. It doesn't love in spite. I love you in spite of yourself. Hey, take your love and you know what you can do with it. The way spiritual love loves is this. Spiritual love always loves because. It loves because. Not in spite of, but because of. This is a positive, powerful, positive force, having positive impact, people. And please stay with me here. First of all, inside of you. What God has given to us is something remarkable. The more I study it in Scripture, the more I sit back in my office and just shake my head. It's so simple, but it's so profound what God has given to us when He gave us love instead of law. Of what happens inside of our own soul. Not a love in spite of, because that would emphasize what that other believer is doing or not doing. This is a love that loves you because of. And the whole flow and the emotion of your soul is so different now. Spiritual love loves because of, not because of. Spiritual love, I love you first of all because of my relationship with God. And those of you that always are hard pressed with member of the Godhead and you're very military about it, God, the Holy Spirit. God. Secondly, I love you because of your relationship with God. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. I don't love you in spite of. In spite of your sins, in spite of how horrible you are, in spite of the way you treat me, in spite of the way you reject me, in spite of all of that, I love you. Oh, wow, we're going to have a good night. This is going to be fun. This is going to be a good meal. I think I'll just, you know, take a bowl of cereal in the corner, and I'll have a lot more fun. Now, people, this is a love that says, I love you because. I love you because of my relationship with God. My harmony with God. My fellowship with God. Everything that faith in God the Holy Spirit gives us. And because of that relationship here, I love you. Secondly, I love you because of your relationship with God. Those of you that often come up, and I'm often there with this, we always emphasize the believer. What about the unbeliever? Fine. Your relationship with God. What is your relationship with God? For God so loved you, He sent His Son to die for you. So that takes care of the unbeliever, for those of you that want that. But you, your relationship with God, you're in the body of Christ. Your relationship with God, He came and died for you. I love you because of that. I love you because of what's happening inside of me, in my relationship with God, and your relationship with God. This is what happens with spiritual life. It's always emphasizing your relationship with God. And therefore, emphasizing your relationship with God here, we have one of the characteristics of it. It gives us a very strong peace and calmness in our soul, but they don't deserve it. They're horrible. They're this. They're that. You know, you can tell the Christians that just have nothing, and you know, and they listen to the things from all the Christian people, the people like Rush Limbaugh, all negative, 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 judging, how horrible everything is, and they never hear the truth of Scripture, in my opinion. And if they do it maybe just once in a while they fill their soul all the time with everything else. But if we separate ourselves from the world, as we are to, and we dwell and abide, in His love, not in His law, which He, God, omitted in our study in Joshua Sunday morning, very important study. But we abide in His love, the whole makeup of our life, people, changes. Your day, your afternoon, your evening, everything changes when you abide in His love. And so this love now is not in spite of you. That sounds, when I was taught that, it sounded kind of good until I understood the truth. Not in spite of, but because of. Because of my relationship with God, because of your relationship with God. This is what spiritual love will do. Spiritual love is not in spite, but because of. Spiritual love, now, please remember also what we're seeing. Always go back when I teach these things, and occasionally we'll do it together. But remember, what is spiritual love? Spiritual love is the love that comes to us from whom? God. Okay? God the Holy Spirit. So, we're talking about the love of God. So we're learning some things about the love of God. Does God love in spite of or besides God? God loves because of. He created you. He created me. He created the world. God's love is not a love in spite of. God isn't standing up there, well, you bunch of bums and sinners and horrible creatures, and in spite of all that, I'll do this. No. He loves because of. You're mine. You're mine. I created you. I formed you. This is my life. Tell that. Change your whole perspective. And even as a recipient of love, you want a parent who loves you in spite? In spite of all the things you've done? I know some of you know, David Smith can't even relate to this. He's so wonderful. Why wouldn't his parents love him? But some of us can understand. It's just having fun. Some of us can understand. Hey, my parents can love me in spite of all the bad things and all the trouble I've caused them and all the finances I've caused them and all that. But boy, isn't it nice to be loved by somebody who loves you because you're mine. And they don't even see you. I'm going to the human realm here. So I'm going to the human illustration. They love you because you're their son. They don't even, the fact that you just took money that they planned for something else and they had to get you out of jail or something, it isn't thrown up in your face for the next 6 years. It's just over. That's you're my son. I love you. You're my daughter. I love you. Because of that. Not in spite of all that you've caused and all the hurt that you've caused us and all the trouble you've caused us. You realize you've caused us a lot of trouble. You really hurt your mother and you really hurt your father and all of that. But in spite of all of that, yeah, you're invited to Thanksgiving turkey. Well, boy, I really want to get there fast. As opposed to because you're us. There's something happens in the inner relationship, people. And people know when they're loved with spiritual love or this kind of love or this kind of love. They know. People know. So spiritual love is not tolerance. If you take a note, it's not tolerance. Spiritual love is not tolerance. Oh, I'll tolerate you. My love will tolerate you. I have tolerated this man for 30 years of our marriage. I have tolerated this woman for 50 years. Well, thank you. I wish you'd have left a long time ago. You'd have saved us both. Because I've been tolerating you. This love is not a love that is tolerant. Spiritual love is not does not tolerate. It is not tolerant. See, people, that's a negative love. That's not the kind of love we want to abide in. This is a love that loves you because. And again, because of what? Two relationships. Your own relationship with God and their relationship with God. And we're getting a picture. The more we grasp this, we're getting a picture and a view that broadens our view of God. People are really limited, and this is why often I'll reiterate to you that whatever you say to somebody in various circumstances, that's your view of God. That's not your view of man. That's not your view of sin. That's your view of God. And people have a very confined view of God because they come at it from law, righteousness, and justice. If you come at it from this aspect, then God becomes infinite, becomes as spacious as the galaxies. And is not Satan. And he doesn't love in spite of. His love isn't tolerance. He loves because of. Now, something else we want to make very clear here. The impact of spiritual love. Remember, it's a force. And as a force, it has impact or effect. And it is important to recognize the impact or the effect of this love then. What is the impact or the effect? People might say, I love you, but it doesn't mean a thing. And in the human realm, many people have either lived with in marriage or in a home as children or siblings or whatever. I love you, but nothing. It doesn't mean anything. But when you're talking about spiritual love, the impact or the effect of spiritual love starts off. This starts off. This is the starting of that inner relationship that does. It's the impact of this love starts off. It starts off with different words, whichever word communicates to you, and they each have a different nuance, and I'm not going to go through those tonight, but it starts off with reconciliation. It starts off with restoration. Not condemnation, separation, but the first impact of God's love is what? Restoration. Redemption. Reconciliation. What are we predominantly, as far as Paul is concerned in his description in 2 Corinthians 5:5? We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, and what is our message? To reconcile man to God. That's what God is in the business of doing. Look at it. We're a Bible church. Let's open the Bible to 2 Corinthians. This is our message. What is the impact? What is this love? Can love just be, I love you, and I get to treat you any way I want? No. Spiritual love, having gone through the things we've gone through, has a dramatic impact or a dramatic effect. And its first impact or first effect is reconciliation, restoration. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's just see if we can go through a couple of things. Verse 14 introduces the love to this whole thing. For the love of Christ, that is, the love of Christ for me, that is, Christ's love for me, controls us. But before it controlled him, he came to having concluded. You can even see it in the participle here, the English participle. Having meaning before this love controlled me, I came to some conclusions about it. Having concluded, and this is what's going to lead to it controlling us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all. That they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and arose again on their behalf. People, this wasn't, I'm going to go home and put this down in my list. This wasn't in my list of what I was trying to say to you at the beginning, because I'm going somewhere with it throughout our study. Now, it's just another track that the Holy Spirit's taken me on, of going back to what I was trying to explain earlier in the earlier remarks, is abiding in His love. What motivates you in your life, not only in regard to conduct, but in regard to your whole purpose and mission and all of that? Is it all up here, control and service and obedience and law and all of this? Or is it just love that still compels you? My life is His life. And people, I want you to understand, this is predominant, this is loud, but I'm seeing over and over, and here's just another place for it now that I didn't even have written down, that this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm not going to go here. If you want to hear, there are a lot of churches here. But this is what I want to control your life, compel you, drive you to not sin. I'm not going to talk a lot about sin. That's not what God's Spirit has sent me to do. If you're here, I don't even have to make an emphasis of this. This is where we're going to do. If we understand, if we come under and abide in this love, conclude some things about this love, it's going to create a desire. This is so beautiful. I don't know why I didn't see this verse. It creates this desire. I want to live for Him. My life is His life. No, it's no longer. This kind of love I want to live in. I am so compelled by it. So, anyway, so now I know why we turned here. Okay, let's jump down so you can see in verse 18. Now all things are from God, who reconciled us, He God reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. How did He do that? Love. How will you do that? Love. His love. This is just what we are here for. This verse is filled with so many beautiful things. Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself. People, what's our view? Our view is this. You have wronged me. Therefore, it is up to you to come to me and want to make it right. That's human view. What's God? You have wronged me, I will come to you. I'm the one who's going to put out how we're going to be reconciled. I'm the one that's going to come to you. See, the way we are, well, the reason we're not ready, well, they haven't come and they haven't done this and they ought to at least let me know and all that. People, it is up to us who have been offended. When love is offended, it is love. Spiritual love. That provides the way so easy to be reconciled. But most of us, what do? Well, you better walk the line, walk on glass, in fact, hands and knees on the glass. I want to see blood on your knees and on your hands crawling back. I want to see some real remorse. I want to see some strong repentance. I want you to really put out some effort here. God didn't do that. God says, I tell you what, you alienated yourself from me. I'll reconcile you to me. I'll put my Son on a cross. Yeah. You just stand back and you go, man, that's love. That's love beyond understanding. For Paul said in Ephesians. That he would do that. I'm the one that should want to do something. I'm the one that should say, here, let me give you this. I have nothing to give him. And so he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I want, my love is so strong, I want us to be reconciled. So therefore, to bring about restoration, I'll send my Son. So he did it. One more time, verse 18. So we see this love, and what happens when you abide in this love? What happens when spiritual love flows? All these things are from God who reconciled us to himself. God was doing this, and he did it through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, if you take three, gave us the love, this new love, spiritual love, gave us the new command, he's given us everything necessary for us to reconcile others to Christ. And we could understand this as unbelievers or even reconciling believers, because we have that ideal of restoration in Galatians 6 and other places, but we studied it clearly there. Verse 19, namely, and verse 18 in, and gave us the ministry, that's our service, Yeah, the ministry of reconciliation, it's a charter. It really, the Greek word there is charter. It's a charter. What's a charter? Well, if you understand the concept of a charter, we don't use that word too much anymore, but if you wanted to open up a little shop, you get a charter for that. Charter for ice cream, or charter for clothes, or charter. It's sort of like a concept, it's what the government recognizes. You got a charter to do this. So they walk in and you're selling something that's not in your charter. And they go, wait a minute, you can't do that. That's not in your charter. What's our charter? What are we here for? This is our charter, our ministry, reconciliation. And we're going to have his love to do that. Verse 19, namely, that God was in Christ, God the Father in Christ. If you want to talk about members of the Godhead, I've come out of a background where I wanted everybody plugged in. I wanted all members of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I didn't want them ever crossing each other. They're one. I'm not going to please some people all the time because I'm seeing more. They're one. They're similar in a lot of cases. But if you want to, God the Father, namely that God was in Christ, the humanity of God, and what was he doing in Christ? Reconciling the world, and we studied the concept of the world in darkness, and therefore not in light, and he was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, wait a minute. Not counting their trespasses against them, I can show you a lot of passages where he does hold trespasses against you. Yes, he does. I'm going to pound you. I'm going to get you. Your trespasses will get you. On and on and on. And where did he take all of those judgment statements? Where were all those judgment statements fulfilled, people? At the cross. No longer an issue. I don't hold your transgressions against you. But more Christians do. Oh, we love to hold transgressions against one another. Oh, we love it. Got something to control by now. Fear, control. What does God say? God. Not holding against you. That's why he's doing it through him. Okay, so they're gone. They're gone. Okay? Verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating through us. This is beautiful. God entreating through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Okay. This is what his love does. It's not my love. It's his love. This is not my entreaty to you to be reconciled to God as an unbeliever or believer. This is God's love. This is God's reconciliation. And I just have the marvelous privilege of being the vessel through which he has chosen to do that, you and I, in our lives. So this becomes so powerful. So what is the primary, first fundamental impact of this love? Reconciliation, restoration, this type of thing. And then it goes to blessings, advancements, and so many things after that. The love of Christ is found or seen in an historical reality, historical impact. People, this is not abstract concept. This is historical reality, the cross. He demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. It is real. It has real, historical, eternal impact. So nor is the impact of his love is not condemnation. Many people that don't like spiritual love, we want to call it tough love, impersonal love, changes it so that we can get you. People, if that's how you see the love of God, then that's fine. But this love, the impact of this love is not condemnation. It is not judgment. The impact of his love, the effect of his love on us, is reconciliation. His love is discovered in the scriptures where it is recorded. His love is discovered in our lives. His love is discovered by people in the way you love them. You are the only way that some people will ever know the love of God. Or if ever, that'd be all right. But certainly we could say you may be the first place that they will ever run into the love of God. And especially this is true in our society today. Especially to today. When you go to work, home, social life, that love that flows through you may be the only place they will ever come in contact with how God truly loves. What does God's love look like through you? What is their view of God's love? What is their view of God? Do they see righteousness, justice, condemnation, judgment? Or do they get a touch? Do they feel the breeze of spiritual love, of the love of Christ, as it comes to you? Wait a minute. That's different. That's different. Why are you the way you are? This love is not known. Being kissed, and I don't mean lips, I mean in the metaphorical concept. Being kissed by this love, having this love as it were a breeze come through, you know it, people know it. And you may be the only person that they will ever see the love of Christ. And that opens it for so many other things as far as your life is concerned. So whenever you desire to see the impact or the effect of His love, all you have to do is look at yourself. All you have to do, if you've walked in the Spirit and you want to see the impact and effect of His love, look at yourself. Look at ourselves. Where are we? We are reconciled to God. If everyone in this room tonight, I pray you have accepted Christ as Savior, you have been infected, impacted by this love. You are reconciled to God, restored to God, it's over, done, you're in a relationship with Him. And no matter what happens, you can't lose that relationship with Him. That's phenomenal love. That's phenomenal. And when we really blow it, and everybody else runs like they did from David, we know our relationship with Him. That's phenomenal love. And then in your life, every time you go back to faith, you sin, and we do sin, and you go back to faith, and whatever the journey is to get you there, confession instead of denying, Saul instead of hardening of the heart, stop blaming God, whatever the deal is that takes you to a responsibility that you're in sin, that then will take you into a repentant attitude, I want to be right, be back in the proper relationship, that brings you into the faith which is repair or our part, then even just by God. I have no right to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I've just sinned. And God just trust me, and I'll put you right back into the light. That's all you need to do. And every time you do this, you've been touched, impacted, affected. You have felt the impact and effect of His love. And you want to go out and give somebody else a different kind of love than the love that you have? Virtually 24 hours a day. They don't deserve it. You do. They deserve your condemnation. When you yourself, probably hours before, if not shorter than that, have just been touched, impacted, affected by His love, just going back to faith, and you're now back into perfect union with Him. How good. Parables like that where the guy's been forgiven. You know, being forgiven $1,000, being forgiven $100,000. Well, in our society, to make it, you've been forgiven $1 million debt. They won't even forgive somebody else $100 debt. You've been so treated in this love, so affected by it, to be reconciled to God, and you turn around and you won't do it to someone else. How dare you? So we've been affected ourselves by this love. We felt the impact of this love. So this love, then we have an idea what it feels like. I know what happens inside. That's what I want my love to be towards someone else. His love did that to me. Therefore, I know what my love should be to one another, to this other believer out here. Because I know what God's love is, God's love down to me, and I know how that made me feel when I was right, when I was wrong, when I was good, when I was bad, when I sinned, when I didn't sin, when all in all, the third thing he says, I know what his love is like in all those circumstances. Therefore, here I am, and I know what I want this love, how this love should affect someone else. And the namely impact, it starts off with reconciliation, restoration, this type of thing. Okay, we will start here. Get ready to move to a whole other section of this study Tuesday night in dealing with this love. And again, I'm not at all fooled that everyone, you know, people sit and listen to you. If you have questions or problems or anything, let me know. Let's talk about it. It's just becoming so vivid to me the more that the scriptures that I open up. Next Wednesday night, I'm putting together a little Thanksgiving special for you. It's just so powerful what I've been seeing and just preparing for one night. It's sort of funny, and I hope you'll take it, that I didn't want to, you know, not take it. I had other things I wanted to do, so that, but I'll just, you know, throw something together for Thanksgiving Eve, and some won't be here and all that. And it has turned into days of study that I did not want to give. I promise you. I wanted it to be done. Pick out something. Surely, the Holy Spirit can give me a one-hour message in 1 hour. And I can just come here and get it. It has not worked that way. It has taken me all over. And, you know, I'm so mad, if you understand that, that time has been used for that way. I wish now I'd have just gone ahead and studied the normal Wednesday night flow. But it's going to be super in dealing with it. It just blends with everything else we're studying, and I did not mean for that to happen. I know why, but I didn't mean for it to. I have a chosen word of prayer. Father, if we allow your Spirit to open our eyes and begin to get a glimpse, he puts the glasses over our eyes, we might look into the brightness of your love. Otherwise, we're blinded by it. And Father, we pray that your Spirit will continue to open our eyes that we might see. There's so many things that in the human way of thinking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it just doesn't make sense. And so Father, pray that you will continue to give us wisdom from the tree of life, that it will make sense. We praise you, Father, as we study these things, Father, what we really are learning about is you. The more we grasp and understand spiritual love, what we're grasping and understanding is you. And that causes a desire to want to see and understand more and to live in that love, to abide in it. We praise you, Father, for God you are, in the same precious name.